Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am sitting here with Rick Sterling in the studio with Dr. Don on the phone. And we are delighted that you have taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule today on April 2, 2021. So that you can join us for the Bible on Trial. We encourage you to get your Bibles out because, truthfully, the Bible is our textbook. It is what we use as proof. Although, if you have been listening to us for any length of time, you know that there are things that are in the Bible. There is writing that is in the Bible that is certainly more than suspect as far as its truthfulness. And so we encourage you to do that. We also encourage you to go to our websites, which I will post in just a minute or two on chat room. And by the way, the reason that I have to do that is they change things and I cannot post them early. I have to wait until we have actually come on the air before I can post anything on the chat room. So I will do that. And again, we encourage you to go to our primary website, spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. You will also find lots of good writing by Rick. And I highly recommend, I recommend everything. I mean, you should just go there and start reading and you'll be pleased and amazed, I think. We also have our original website, which has a lot of historical data, a lot of writing by the rest of us, including Dr. Don with I think Dr. Don has one on there. I think Rich Humpel has one called Conviction versus Preference. That is a mandatory writing that you need to understand what the legal ramifications of just believing anything you want. There's all sorts of good writing, and we encourage you to go there. Let us have prayer, and we will start. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, this world. There are so many things out there that cause confusion, that cause misunderstanding, that there is no backstory to that we have been told. There are ships that are blocking canals. There are there's all sorts of horror and bad things that are happening. But underlying all of this, Father, we know that your truth will prevail, that what you desire to happen will happen, not because you're forcing it, but because you have seen it and know the end from the beginning. Father, we are now in a singularity time when all of the various and many different pathways that could lead us into the future are now no longer many and different, but are singular and absolute. And we are heading toward truth at a breakneck speed. And I pray, Father, right now, that you will slow our hearts, that you will open our minds and produce in us a truth that is the same truth that Jesus brought from the Father in heaven, that is the light of the world. Thank you for doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to punch Don up here for just a second. Good morning, Don. How are you today down in the canyon?
Good morning. Happy Good Friday. It's a gorgeous day. It is a gorgeous day. The birds are singing. The trees are in blossom. there is a God in heaven, despite all the confusion here on earth.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, thank you, Don, and good morning, Rick. Nice to see you across our magnificent studio table.
There you go with your...
A little irony to start the day.
I don't know how many of you are aware of what's going on in the world today. If you're not, you must be so preoccupied with your life that it just doesn't register. I want to start out today with one word, very, 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 very important word. This word is fundamental to your expectation of the future. And no, the word is not truth. It's not faith. It's not belief. It's not hope. All of those words depend on this word. And this word is trust. Trust. Trust is expectation built on past performance. Faith is expectation built on hope for a certain outcome. I say that because we expect from God can only come when we know God. And to know God only comes through devotion to the truth. And when I say devotion to the truth, I mean you study and study, not read. Read has nothing to do with this. Yes, you need to read the words, but reading is more like a devotional, family worship or prayer meeting or something where you read a couple of feel-good texts and then have a testimony period, and then you pray. I don't know if any man or any woman would enter into a covenant of marriage with one another having never met. Now, it happens. In some countries, I know in India, they still practice it to a certain extent, where the parents pick the man and the woman, and their son, their daughter, and they're actually committed to one another at birth. And they may not know one another until their wedding day. Is it important to get to know a person before you commit to that person for the rest of your life or their life? And when I say no, I don't mean that you meet and say, hello, how are you? What's your name? My name is, and you are married. Of course you know what their name is. Of course you know what they look like. But you don't know anything about them. You don't know what is in their intellect. You don't know what they like, what they don't like. You don't know if your personalities match well together. But Christians believe that as soon as they have asked Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior, that's all it takes. They don't need to know anything about him other than he died for me on the cross to save me from my sins. And as long as I hold that belief in my mind, I will receive, and I have received, eternal life. I'm sure that if you were to ask the members of the Sanhedrin at the time when the Son of God was going from town to town and city to city teaching, if they believed that Jesus Christ had come to save the world, I don't think that you would get the answer that you would normally expect, because it was this same august body that was trying to figure out how they could shut this man up in a hurry. They had come to the conclusion that the only way to shut him up was to bring him in on trumped-up charges and to execute him. Yet these same individuals of the Sanhedrin claimed to know the God who gave Moses their law. They had their trust in Moses, or primarily the law that Moses had received from God and written down, and that they had tweaked to make sure that the law, what they believed God's intention was when he wrote it. They did not know God, but they believed in God, the God of their fathers, the God of Moses, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't know the truth about their God, and therefore, when God sent his Son to the earth to testify to the truth, this legal body of religious experts were falling all over themselves in an effort to try and shut this man's mouth, because if he kept spreading these lies, he was going to steal away by deceiving the whole masses of crowds that were coming to listen to him, and he kept performing these miracles which no one else could do, and it was trickery used to deceive these people, and they needed to act, and they needed to act in a hurry because they cared so deeply about these people that were being so thoroughly deceived.
And, you know, when you were talking about marriage just a few minutes ago, I thought, what about the person who deceives or her, you know, husband or wife during the time when they are supposed to be getting to know them? What happens when the person who married them under false pretenses finds out who they really are? You see, we are in a conundrum, because what you just suggested, and I know that was irony, all right? The Sanhedrin, the doctors of the law, they knew exactly who Jesus was. They knew that he was the Son of God. I mean, look at what Nicodemus said to Jesus when he was visiting in the nighttime teaching session. We know you are sent from God. So a person who has been deceived, the entire nation of Israel had been deceived by these people who told them who they wanted God to be.
Well, they had created their own God.
They had created their own God, exactly. And the people didn't know anything until they met and heard Jesus, and then they figured it out. At least some of them did.
No one in the Sanhedrin were in the kingdom of God. None of them. And they were not even trying to help anyone who wanted to be in the kingdom of God to show them the way to enter the kingdom of God. And those are not my words. Those are the words of the Son of God, who said, you go over land and sea to win one proselyte. You prevent, you refuse to enter the kingdom, and you prevent anyone who wants to enter from entering. The reason he came to this earth, the reason he came to this earth, was to show the way to the kingdom.
And of course, you just triggered one of my very favorite verses in the entire Bible, where Jesus told a prince of this world exactly why he came. And we find this in John 18:37. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this reason I have been born, and for this reason I have come into the world, dot, dot, dot. And my favorite use of those extenders is I point out that this would have been a perfect time at the end, near the end of Jesus' ministry, for Jesus to tell his people that he made a mistake, that he didn't come to do what he said he was going to do. What he came to do was different. And that difference is that, yes, indeed, you are going to eventually learn that you are saved by grace through faith. And this salvation is open to all who simply believe that I exist. This would have been the perfect time for him to do that. And being God, do you not think that if that was true, he would have done it? So here's what Jesus actually said: for this reason I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.
And what does that word of mean?
The love of it,
no.
The searching for it,
no.
The ability, not the ability, but the desire.
Of usually indicates an origin.
Right.
So those who are of the truth originate through the truth.
Correct.
So in other words, the truth gives them birth.
There is a word that I often will add here that is implied. Everyone who is already of the truth will hear my voice. Jesus even told the doctors of the law and members of the Sanhedrin, the reason why you don't hear my voice, the reason why you can't hear what I say, is because you are not of the truth. You are of your father, the devil, who is a liar from the beginning.
The text is Matthew 23, verses 13 through 15. At least it is in the Jerusalem Bible.
Matthew 13?
Matthew 23, 13 through 15. Alas for you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you who shut up the kingdom of heaven in men's faces, neither going in yourselves nor allowing others to go in, who want to. Alas for you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you who travel over sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when you have him, you make him twice as fit for hell as you are.
Dr. Don would like to make a quick comment, so let me go ahead and get him up here. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, Rick just did it, but for the benefit of our new listeners, I wanted that text where you go over land and sea, and Rick just gave it.
Yep,
that's it. Now, with that preamble to the study, keep in mind what we are covering. Because when I say that God offers to everyone who believes in him. Now, get that. God offers to everyone who believes that he is God. Life through obedience, death through disobedience. It is incumbent upon everyone to learn the truth about God, because no one can fulfill the obedience part if they don't know what they are supposed to do, what is expected of them. Those who learn wickedness and go down that road and become experts in wickedness, they know what they're doing. When the truth of goodness comes, they see it as a mortal enemy that needs to be destroyed immediately. This is the attitude of the Sanhedrin. Wickedness that has taken control of logic and logical thinking. You may think that the 11 disciples, when their teacher was giving them the final wrap-up testimony, that by that time he's in essence letting them all know that they are now in the kingdom of God. In fact, his words would indicate that there were a couple that were close, but that in general, they still had a ways to go before they entered the kingdom. Now, they saw it as a destination in a particular place. In other words, they saw it as he's going to the Father and they want to go with him. But he's informing them that they will get there, but later. Was he talking about them taking a journey through space to get to where the Father lives? No. Because he actually was telling them that the Father is right here. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father, and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. And have you been with me so long, and you still don't know me? Turn to John chapter 16, starting with verse 1. I have told you all this. What all this is he says that in essence, when you become one with me, the world will hate you because it hated me before it hated you. If you are like me, the world will hate you. And when he's talking about the world, he is talking including the religious leaders, the experts, the ones who claim to know the truth about God. They are the only ones who know the truth about God. And if you have any hope of achieving that salvation and eternal life that you are looking for, you had better hang close to them and listen to them and do exactly what they say, because if not, you are going to the bad place.
You have to do it their way or the highway.
I have told you all this so that your faithfulness may not be shaken. They will expel you from the synagogues and churches and cathedrals. And indeed, the hour is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is doing a holy duty for God. They will do these things. Now get this. They will do these things because they have never known either the Father or myself. Now, they don't necessarily need to be trying to kill you, although that may happen at certain circumstances. What's more likely to happen is you will be censored. You will be shut up. You will not be allowed to speak. You will be cast out of your church because that terrible infection that you have, you could spread to all the church members, and then those poor people, along with you, would be on a one-way trip to hell, and we, the religious elite, it is our duty not to allow you to infect them.
And if your church is Facebook and you tell the truth, you can be sure that they will cast you out, or Instagram, or any of those other means of communication, because they are inclusive. They believe they're inclusive, except for ideas that they disagree with.
When you lie and your whole system, your whole reality is based on lies, you'd better be good at censoring the truth or your system will crumble and fall.
I liked what you said the other day over at George's, Rick. You asked me, when is somebody censored? What does it mean to be censored? Those that tell the truth will never censor anyone. It is only those who believe a lie as if it is the truth that are willing to censor other people.
Those whose life depends on lies.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on, this is verse 4 of John 16. But I have told you all this so that when the time for it comes, you may remember that I told you. I didn't tell you this from the outset because I was with you, but now I'm going to the one who sent me. Not one of you has asked, where are you going? Yet you're sad at heart because I have told you this. Still, I must tell you the truth. It is for your own good that I am going. Because unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send her to you. And when she comes, she will show the world how wrong it was about sin and about who was in the right and about judgment. There are three very important things here, because these three things are the basis for the judgment. These three things are the basis for the judgment. Whose judgment? The judgment of the devil? Oh, no. That judgment, that's already happened. Yeah, that guy has already been judged. He and his whole horde, cohort, insurrectionists. No, it's our judgment. This is our judgment, the basis for our judgment. So he goes on to say about sin, proved by their refusal to believe in me. About who was in the right. Did you get that? Proved by their refusal to believe in me about who was in the right. Proved by my going to the Father and your seeing me no more. Now, he's offering here the proofs about sin. The proofs about sin. So, the devil has already been condemned, and that is in the next part where he talks about judgment. About judgment, proved by the prince of this world being already condemned. So, about judgment, about who is in the right, about judgment, and about sin. We serve one of two masters. If we serve and our service comes from lies, we are serving the master of the lies we are practicing. If our service comes from the truth, then our master is the one who gave us the truth so that we would know what service to him involved. I can tell you this from John chapter 8. Verse 34. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus replied, I tell you most solemnly, everyone who commits sin is a slave. A slave of whom? Well, he goes on down here to say, Father. Whose father? Who is your father? Well, my father is God. I don't know how many of people that you would ask who their spiritual father was would say the devil. No one really, I'd say no, almost no one would want the devil to be their father. I'm positive there are people out there who feel it a privilege to claim that the devil is their father. But most people, particularly Christians, would recoil if you were to say your father is the devil, although that's exactly what the Son of God said. In verse 42, if God were your father, and he's talking to the religious leaders, you would love me. Since I have come here from God. Yes, I have come from him. Not that I came because I chose. I was sent and by him. Do you know why you cannot take in what I say? In other words, you reject what I'm teaching. You reject my testimony. Do you know why you reject it? It is because you are unable to understand my language. I'm speaking in a different language. That's why. You just haven't learned how to understand it yet. Isn't that an interesting way to put it? Devil is your father, and you prefer to do what your father wants. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who believes in God but is practicing from a lie is serving the devil. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that the devil is their father. I'm saying that once you start taking a stand against the truth and you start resisting the truth and you actively start fighting against the truth and trying to shut people up or inform them that they're lying and you have the truth, but I still love you, brother. I still love you, sister. And we'll just all get together. And when all this is over, then
we'll
sit down and God will tell us all what the truth is. Well, then what purpose did he send his son into the world for? Well, he'd saved, he had to die for our sins so that because I can't do anything about my sin. It happens. I've got this flesh. This flesh is full of sin, and I can't get rid of the sin out of my flesh. So, but my spirit is good. It's just that my flesh is so weak that I keep sinning all the time. And I ask God for forgiveness every night. And so I'm just hoping that I don't die during the night or the day when my, you know what I'm saying. You see? Makes no sense.
And people talk about the almost said approach, the way in which Jesus has spoken of salvation as being convoluted, as being oppressive. I mean, Jesus didn't mean that. Obviously, he sent Paul after what Jesus told his own disciples. He sent Paul later to explain things and to make it right, to make it the correct
way.
Well,
not just to explain things. He came to actually give a whole different way to have eternal life than what the Son of God taught.
And again, I hearken back to John 18:37, where at that moment, if that was true, he had the perfect opportunity to tell Pilate exactly, and he didn't.
Well, you know, people say that was before the resurrection, and Paul keeps emphasizing the resurrection and that Jesus couldn't teach salvation by faith through grace because he hadn't been resurrected from the grave. And by the way, he wasn't resurrected. He came back to life. If that's the case, then Jesus preparing these 11 men for service wasted his time. They say, well, he came to save the Jews, and so these men, he tasked them to convert the Jews to Messianic Jews and so on because that, and then Paul was the Gentiles and Paul made that clear that those guys, they were to work with the Jews and he was working with the Gentiles and God had meant it all that way. Then why would he say this as the last recorded statement to his disciples in Matthew? Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 16. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples set out for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. When they saw him, they fell down before him, though some hesitated. Jesus came up and spoke to them. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations."
I have a guest who'd like to make a comment, if that's all right.
How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing fine. What's your name, first name?
My name is Tarhaka.
I'm glad to meet you. What can we do for you?
Well, I was listening to your broadcast, and by the way, y'all really got it going on, man. You do some real in-depth stuff, and but there's a few things that I'm trying to get to the bottom of. First of all, I host my own radio show, but I just decided today that I'm going to go and listen to other people's show, because everybody always hearing what I got to say and my guests, and what about everybody else? So I just happened to come on, and I'm listening to your show.
Well, good. Well, bless your heart.
Well, my position is this. There was a time when we was in the age of believing. But today, we're in a brand new age. It's called knowing for a fact and proven. That's my position.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think what you're saying is kind of what I've been saying along is the truth, because mm-hmm. the truth is what gives the blind their sight. But it's the ability to discern spiritual
issues,
realities, I guess, if you will, soul food. I like to call it that. But you're exactly right. And by the way, soul food is good, solid, healthy, nutritious food. I know, I've had it.
For the intellect.
Well, I mean, the real soul food for your body and the soul food for your soul is the same. It represents
the same
thing.
Well, that's
all right.
Very good.
Well, all right. Well, now you're absolutely correct, but we still have a problem, because if we know, because we always say we know, I don't think everybody really, really believes that they know that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. I know you've heard that before.
Oh, I've said it before.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now. Okay. So if that's the fact, then how do we explain today, right now today? I just did a two-month investigation to talk to people for 2 months straight. What I found out is they are suffering from three things: reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's a very serious problem, man. I mean, it's serious, because I cracked the trailer driver. I sat aside up in between two men. They on gigantic trucks, and I asked them, I said, "Well, I have a question I need y'all to help me out with." I say, if every engineer on earth would tell you that a circle is 360 degrees. Okay. All right, so let's do the math. 3 + 6 + 0 is what? It took them a minute, man. But they said, that's 9. I said, well, okay, let's cut that circle in half. That's 180 degrees. 1 + 8 + 0 is what? Yeah, 9. Okay, let's get the bottom half. 1 + 8 + 0 two times is what? 9. All right, let's take these two nines and add them together. What we got? We got 18. But 1 + 8 is what? It's 9. My head's spinning. Let me get my calculator. Let me get my phone a minute. Whoa, son. Here you are out here, you shaking up the ground, you moving almost the entire community, and you don't know how to count. And if you can't count, you sure can't read. And if you can't read, I know you can't count. I ain't
so
got down there with what's called spelling.
I ain't got down there yet. Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is, the ability to analyze based on fact is a lost art.
Yeah, and we in trouble because of it.
And that's right. So one of the things that we have done here is we've made the idea of truth simple in this. There is a standard by which we can measure everything related to truth. And that standard is not the Bible. Because in the Bible, there are things that disagree with that standard. So what do you think that standard might be?
I think that standard will have to be science. Original.
That's part of it. Yes.
Supreme mathematics.
That's part of it. But what did Jesus say?
Well, the first thing I have to do, because I always analyze everything. When you say to me, Bible, the first thing I need to know is where did you get it from?
Well,
the next
and you see,
thing I need to know.
Good
is
thinking, good.
The Bible is
God,
a compilation of writings.
That's right. But who wrote it? That's what we need to get to the bottom of. Who?
Well, a lot of people wrote it. That's what a compilation
okay.
is.
And so there's a lot of people who wrote in the Bible.
But they
right,
weren't
you're
writing
correct.
They weren't writing to have their writing in a compilation of works. They were just writing, well, you know, I mean, Moses wrote what God told him to write, which we now have as they call the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And then we have the prophets, and then there are some Psalms and some other writings in there. And then there's the testimony of Jesus, which was written down by his eyewitnesses, Matthew and John. So in essence, we have the law, the prophets, and the testimony of Jesus.
And that is the standard. And you notice we did not include Luke.
All right, well, let me ask some more questions.
Paul. Yes, go ahead.
All right, so now, because we're trying to get to the bottom of things. All right, so first thing you said is the Bible. My question was, who wrote it? Now, here's my answer. The New Testament was written by Dizzeus Erasmus. The Old Testament was written by Moses Maimonides. Now, that's my position on that. Now, when you say Jesus, because what we are doing is we are actually speaking English. Now, I have a man that he wrote two books. The first book, he said, there's never been a man in the history of the world ever live and ever walk the face of this earth by the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what he wrote. Then he come back and wrote another book that says about the history of Islam. There's never been a man in the history of the world for Islamic tradition by the name of Muhammad. So he wrote these two books and put them out. Okay, that's something the man said. Now, what he does is he goes down in there and give you people, places, times, and events. He'll be on my show Sunday night because I host my own radio show. But my mm-hmm. question to you is this, because I feel like you're somebody that I can talk to.
Oh,
because
good.
Most people I can't talk to them. They be, you know, I'm a brother. On my own home, all this stuff. But the Caucasians come to my house and they try to sit down and talk to me. We have a conversation and they be like, "How in who are in the are you?" And I point over there. I said, "Look at my library right there." I would never talk to this in college. I said, "Okay, relax, man. Calm down. Put your feathers down. Let's chill out, man." Oh my goodness, my head's spinning. I said, okay, relax. So in order to have a dialogue, because this is my position once again, We are no longer in the age of believing. We are now officially in the age of knowing.
Oh, I agree with that.
But how do you know, if you don't learn?
Well, the reason why I know where we are before I answer that question is because it occurred on a certain date. In order for us to understand that, we had to go backwards, and then we had to come up and get on time. First of all, we're under the impression that space and time is something that we know something about. But we really don't, because you and I can get in, let's say, you get in an F-15 jet fighter. I'm going to get in the other one over on the side. And we're going to go up into space. We're going to travel at 1,500 miles an hour. But all of a sudden, while we up there, there's a craft sitting right there in front of us that we ain't never seen in our life. It ain't making no noise. It ain't shooting. It's just sitting there.
And that's because that craft is gravitational drive. And we're getting down to the end of the show. Would you do us a favor? We would love to have you call back. I have this sneaking suspicion you're a man after our own hearts. What was your name one more time?
My name is Tahaka. And I am an Egyptian, a real one.
Wonderful. It has been lovely meeting you, and I hope that we can talk with you again sometime very soon. We have about a minute and 40 seconds left. You want to close it out, Rick?
Yes. Yes, thank you again. It's wonderful to talk to people who are thinkers. Best kind of people to talk to. Those that have already shut and locked the door of their mind, and they don't let anything out and they don't let anything in, they're kind of like a stagnant swamp. Everything foul is in there, and it's a breath of fresh air. Thank you, my friend, for calling in. And tomorrow I wanted to take what we've talked about today and put it into Revelation and about concerning the future and how knowing God is the only way to make sense of what I'll be talking about tomorrow. That is, we are on the doorstep, the threshold of.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you, Tahaka, and thank you all for listening today. We encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church. We also encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now, and we'll see you all tomorrow.